people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. Thank you for joining us. We are recording, as always, in Strongbox West in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. Around the table, we have
Ronnie,
Ben,
Becca,
and I'm Mickey. We're going to talk today about a couple different things, but given that the season's turning and we're getting ready for the onset of winter, let's open up with talking about winter mechanic tips. Ronnie.
So you are, for anyone that lives in the Atlanta area, you've noticed that weather has finally taken a substantial dip.
To me, it's freezing cold.
Yeah. We had about 4 days of fall, yep. And now we are in winter. I'm a tropical Indian, so if it's below 60, I am freezing.
Oh, you're doing better than me. Once it drops below 75, I'm freezing.
Does that make this the pumpkin spice episode?
Wait, you didn't know, but I have pumpkin spice right here.
So. Oh my God, really?
Awesome.
Yes, you can kind of see the orange up there.
Way to defeat the stereotype, Ben.
I don't care. I don't care. I'm all over it.
You like the pumpkin spice.
I do. I love it.
All right.
Becca has a little white girl in her and outside of her. And
I'm not judging.
So many jokes I can make you. I'm leaving it.
So, for those of you that are into doing your own work on your cars, or you just want to make sure you're not getting taken for a run, because that's going to happen yep. to you this winter, a couple of things to keep in mind. One, your tire pressures are going to go low. Cold air compresses. It will reduce in pressure. There's a whole bunch of physics behind it. Mm-hmm. So just take your cars into your local mechanic and ask them to top off your tires. If you have a discount tire near you, they will do it for free.
Bingo. Come to my house. I'll do it for free.
Right.
Actually, I really am about having emergency things in the trunk and just finding a good but reasonably priced compressor for emergencies is one of the things tucked in your trunk, too.
Oh, yeah.
That way you're not stranded somewhere.
You can do it.
Absolutely.
I always have one.
But there are some people that are so terrified of doing anything to their car aside from turning it on, putting it in drive.
Right.
If you can use the air pump at QT, you can use a little mini compressor.
To Ronnie's point, I think there are people who don't like to even use the air pump at QT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. I will, from personal experience, I'll also say the air pumps at gas stations aren't always the most accurate. And sometimes, well, more often than not in my case, they're very finicky and working
well,
at all.
When you need something, you need something. It's better than a flat tire.
Right.
Just say it.
Well, I'm sort of the Hank Hill of this thing, right? I've got the radial gauge in my car because the dial gauges are better and more accurate than the stick air pressure gauges for tires. I've got my own air compressor in my garage, so I check my tires about once a week or maybe once a month. If I'm just in a rush. So anyway, please continue. I interrupted you.
Do you fill up your tires with propane as well?
propane and propane accessories.
Wow, that was so perfect.
That was perfect.
Well done, Ben.
I don't know. Yours was pretty good too, Ronnie.
for a brown guy. I don't know. No, it's fine.
You think I could fill my tires with propane? Would that be better than nitrogen?
Oh my goodness.
I feel like if we film an episode ever, that would be an experiment. What gases work best in a tire?
Oh my God.
This could be fun.
It would be like the best stunt ever.
I'm totally derailing the process of what we're going through here, our agenda. But I would love to film that. We need to find some TV help, some video production help, and put some of these things on the screen. But anyway, yeah. Please continue. Sorry.
So tire pressures is going to be number one. Number two. You're probably not going to care about your air conditioning anymore. But that should also, you should also keep in mind that when spring rolls around, you are going to run out of Freon for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Freon never stays perfectly sealed in your systems. Very few cars will actually maintain it to that level. So be ready to refill Freon once winter season is over. That has nothing to do with winter prep. It's just a mental note for your knowledge. Third thing to keep in mind, you will end up with a coolant leak this winter.
You will.
It's almost guaranteed.
Really?
Coolant will contract in a way, and if the mechanics that service your car, top off your cars, are as irresponsible as I think they are, they've probably been topping your coolant off with water this mm-hmm. whole time, mm-hmm. which raises the freezing
yes.
point. Of your coolant. And so as temperatures continue to drop, if it goes below 30 or 20 degrees Fahrenheit, part of your cooling system will freeze and expand and crack a component in your cooling system. So,
because in the north, coolant is also known as antifreeze.
Right.
Mm. It raises the boiling point and lowers the freezing point. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean.
So there's a gauge, I think, if I remember correctly, that you can actually test the specific gravity of what's in your
yes.
system. And it's cheap. It is cheap.
So that way you know you have the correct mix of antifreeze plus water, and therefore you won't crack something if it's the correct.
And it should be 50-50. There's also pre-mixed out there if you don't want to mix it yourself.
Yep.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just really good. My Mustang, knock on wood, I've had her a long time. Never had a coolant leak.
So we've talked tires. We've talked air conditioning. We've talked coolant. What else?
Your tires. If they are old tires, give yourself time to warm them up when you first start driving.
Burnouts. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to do it. But... everything gets cold as winter approaches, which includes the road surface and your tire surface. So for that first mile or so, your traction is severely reduced. So in emergency situations, you will not have the maneuverability that you would normally have in spring and summer and fall. So
cold tire is a hard tire and a rigid tire. So
right. So you lose all of your flex, you lose all of your give. Just be mindful of that and give your car a good slow warm up. The other thing about, I'll dismiss the, or dispel the myth of letting your car warm up.
Good.
You can start your car in the winter, and if it's newer than a 90, you can just go.
I would argue with the year. Most newer cars.
Let him finish. Let him finish. We'll come back to this debate. Because he said something about air conditionings that I also want to come back to.
But yeah.
So, let him finish.
So the warm-up process in most people's book is let your car idle for 1 minute to 5 minutes, and then you can drive off. What I recommend is you start your car. You can give it a minute if you want, but you can start it up, get going, and then if you just drive the car at low speeds or easily for about 5 minutes, that lets the car warm up evenly, and it lets everything warm up. Because when the car is idling, your transmission fluid isn't cycling all that much, your brakes aren't doing anything, your tires aren't doing anything, your suspension isn't doing anything. All of these are components that will need to warm up as you drive. So give yourself, you know, the time to just go for a slow cruise as you get ready to enter the highway. And that would be enough of a time window to warm the car up all the way and drive as you normally would. Becca, you had something. Apparently you had a conflicting thought in the midst of that.
Well, it's just, I think I've talked about it before on the 97, and I've tried to record it, and for whatever reason, I can't get everything I want on the video, like the sound of what the engine is doing. But she has a warm-up period. I don't even think it's a minute long. I'm not entirely sure. But she'll tell you. Any Mustang of that generation, I don't know about the newer ones, but when you first start the car, the RPMs are at about 1,100. And maybe somewhere between 30 seconds and a minute, the RPMs drop down to about 800 to 900. And that is the car telling me my warm-up is done.
So there's a caveat here that...
you could still drive it off, though.
Yeah, there's two or three caveats in play here.
There's a reason why she's 22 years old.
Right, so what weight oil do you put in there?
10W30. But royal purple, full synthetic royal purple.
Okay.
So
and the other caveat, I mean, there's like six or seven caveats. One of them is all cars are different. All cars are going to behave differently. One of the other things to note is heavier oil behaves differently in much colder weather. Mm-hmm. The other one is we live in Georgia, right? So the warm-up period doesn't really apply to us a whole lot down here. There's not really a whole lot that I need to do in my Mazda, which takes, 5W20? And I crank it up and it's simply ready to go. I don't have to wait for anything to get acclimated in that engine.
But we shouldn't say run out and put lighter oil in your car to avoid a warm-up period.
That's correct.
Because you've got leaks and things that always go by whatever your manufacturer
but
recommends.
Ronnie originally said 1990, so why are you picking that date as a divider?
Because 1990 is where I know for sure that all cars went to fuel injection. A lot of the old idle around warm-up period was mainly for carbureted vehicles. because the way fuel is introduced in a carburetor, the fuel doesn't atomize the way a fuel injector would atomize fuel. A fuel injector is literally a little component that mists
spray nozzle. Yeah.
Fuel into your engine, and that's how it runs. Carburetors, they'll drip fuel into your engine, and it's depending on a swirling effect, a very mechanical Venturi effect, to disperse that droplet into atomization. For that to work, though, you need a level of heat, and that's where a warm-up period is needed for an older car at idle. It'll make it so that the engine is warm enough to disperse the fuel to help it run efficiently.
And additionally, modern computer-controlled engines have all these sensors. They're watching everything going on, and they adjust 100 times a second to keep things working smoothly.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Becca, back to your point about your car telling you it's ready, the car is actually doing for you what I was recommending already. The reason it bumps its idle up is so that the engine runs a little harder until it does warm up. But it's to accelerate the warm-up process. So the drive out, you know, keep it below 3,000 RPMs. Let the coolant slowly... It helps the coolant flow quicker. Mickey brought up a great point about oil. If you get your oil changed this winter, go to a lower weight. 530 is a great safe ground, a good rule of thumb.
Unless you have an oil leak or...
I mean, pay attention to your car and pay attention to what the manual says. It will give you guidelines on what to use for hard, heavy driving and hot temperatures, and what to use on driving in cold climates as well. So follow the guidelines in your owner's manual. But it will have a heavy option for the hard days and a lighter option for the not so hard days.
Exactly.
And the one other thing I wanted to ask you about air conditionings, though, mm-hmm. is that what we always used to say is you won't be you needing your air conditioning in the off season, but probably once a month you should turn it on anyway.
I've heard that, yeah.
That's actually a good point because anything that sits allows seals to dry up and rot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two components inside of your AC system. One is actually an oil. The second is refrigerant itself, or R134a. The refrigerant is what provides the cold, if you will. I'm simplifying a whole lot of stuff. The oil is what keeps everything well lubricated and keeps all your components working appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So by turning your AC on for maybe a drive every month, will allow the oil to cycle through, make sure the seals stay lubricated, and allows the Freon to flow as well.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, though, AC isn't necessarily cold. You can still turn the heat up and have the AC
Absolutely.
Running. So don't
Correct.
Think of freezing yourself out in a car just to keep it going.
And in fact, there are some cars now, a lot of modern ones, where if you turn on your defroster or defogger, it automatically engages it anyway.
Yes.
Because drier air is going to help take that mist off the window.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But that's something most people won't think of. So there you go, listeners. you can slide your heat to heat, turn your AC compressor on. It'll still cycle. But if you're like me and you're completely forgetful and you don't care, be ready to replace some Freon in the spring along with maybe a seal or two, because it will dry rot
sure.
if you don't cycle the oil in the system.
Well, newer mm-hmm. seals are getting a lot better than they used to be.
Yeah.
So, and then there's a third component in there. If you're like me, you've got some UV dye in there.
Ah, yeah.
Mm. Well, most replacement Freon comes with UV dye.
It's actually the oil that comes with it.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
But don't buy the Freon with the stop leak. Just don't.
Mm.
it's going to make a small problem bigger in the long run.
Yep.
Just get the regular. If there's a leak and you can't do it, take it somewhere. If you can, just get the UV dye. Really
so
easy.
If you guys out there, any of our listeners, any of our friends have winter car care tips, please send them in to us. Find us at thethingaboutcars.com and just email them to us, or find us on our Facebook page and send us a note there.
I'm sure there's lots of good tips probably for winter.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I was just going to circle around. I wasn't sure if you were getting ready to wrap things up. I was going to circle back around. You can laugh at me if you want. I just bought an aftermarket TPMS system. And I went really silly. None of it is internal. So I'm trying out. Well, after having a discussion with somebody who is a car friend, but not necessarily as mechanically inclined as some others. I decided to start there and just kind of play around. And my intention is to eventually write a blog about whatever I have found with this one. So it is the one that you just screw onto the stem caps. And that's because I had a nail in one of the tires on the Jeep. I got tired of getting out and checking.
So wait. It's not one.
It screws on. It's the valve stem
cap. It is one.
Cap. Yeah. And you just screw it on. Instead of mounting it on your wheel inside your tire, it looks weird.
Yeah.
So sure. I've gotten one of those, and it's got a unit on my dash. I'll have to let you guys know how it went.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that works.
So far, it's actually seeming to be pretty decent.
Is it that one? The high-going tire?
Very similar. Okay. It's not the right name, but you know how the stuff on Amazon gets with all the different names and the same products. It's very similar to that one.
Okay.
So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I didn't have to run any lines. I decided to go with the supercharger instead of the plug-in, which I would be forced to modify. Mm-hmm. I just stuck it on my dash, and it's solar charged. And
interesting.
So we'll see. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, too, because there are some cars like my Mazda that theoretically have a system, but they're not very advanced. What happens in my Mazda is I just get a little tire symbol with an exclamation point in it if one of them goes outside range. Unlike my motorcycle, which actually tells me what each tire contains.
Right.
And newer cars that have the four wheels,
four tires.
Really. Is there not a hidden feature somewhere in your car that'll tell you the pressure of each tire?
No.
Really?
No.
It's a 2013, so it's kind of on the cusp between medium tech and high tech, you know, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just I've seen some cars that...
Yeah, newer ones have it all, you know.
My 09 isn't newer.
Well, let us know how it goes.
Some are better than others.
But yes, definitely I'll have to come back and let you know how it goes. But that goes back to when y'all were talking about checking your tire pressure and all that.
Mm-hmm. There it is. Jinch Wireless TPMS Tire Pressure Monitoring System with Solar Powered Monitor.
Yeah, like that. Again, wrong name. I don't even remember what the name was on the one that I got. But
Was it expensive?
$50.
See, mine was, I think, 43 or...
That seems pretty affordable for tire pressure monitoring.
Actually, jump out.
Looking at the component, it makes sense. Like, there's a small button battery in the valve stem cap. There's a little dimple for a piezoelectric crystal to take the actual pressure reading.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Each individual cap is labeled for each wheel.
Okay.
And I figured it'd be as accurate as any of the tools that we would keep and plug into the tire because of the way it's plugging in.
Yeah.
You know, at the valve stem, that's how we would do it if we were testing
it. If it's all calibrated properly, yeah.
And if it all stays well enough sealed.
Okay, here's the brand name on the one I got,
Zeepin.
but you can see it's the exact same thing. It just, there we go. But it has a different name on it. You know how Amazon
is. I wonder if any of our listeners have ever implemented such a thing because it is aftermarket, which means that they're not producing them slowly. There must be, you know, there must be a larger audience for these things. So who's buying them is the question.
I'd be curious how well it stays sealed over the long term because I'm guessing that it's defeating the actual tire valve to have access to pressure.
Right. So far, it's been holding up. I've had it on there a couple weeks. The only leak I had was from the tire with the nail in it.
Dynamite.
So far, like I said, I'm just kind of sitting back and watching.
Yeah, well, sounds good.
Yeah, if it doesn't leak.
For under $50.
Because with my luck, I put one on, and by the end of the day, one of them would be empty because I didn't put the cap on.
Because you didn't screw it, right?
Yeah. Okay, on that note, we're going to call it a day. Thank you, as always, to our listeners for listening to us and for sending in your questions and suggestions for the show, as always. We do have a Patreon. For the thing about cars, we would very much appreciate your support there as we continue to try to get better gear so that we can sound better for you. Otherwise, just visit us on our website, find us on Facebook, stop by and say hi if we're ever at a car show near you, and be careful out there. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.